And before I start in, I want to give, as Paul's saying here, give thanks unto the Lord, who has made us fit to be inheritance of the of what we have as a saint. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of his Son. And we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And it's all to the praise of glory of God's grace, wherein we have been accepted into beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and it's all according to the riches of God's grace. And that's what it's all about. So we thank the good Lord for that and what we have in Christ. And that'll help us to understand. And when I started this series, I said, the one thing I want you to remember, if you only remember one thing, is that it's not about you, it's about Christ. And if we can put that in our mind, it's not about you, it's not about us, it's about Christ. And what it is about Christ is who we are in Christ. So when I put this, the lesson today is when trouble comes, and trouble will come in our life. We all know that, different ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, it can hit us in different ways. In light of that, how are we going to handle it? What is the answer? If we handle it like the world, and the world is going to say, why me? It's not fair. And the world, and it's all about, if you're going to be a victim, your life is going to be hopeless. If we take accountability, then we have hope. So that's what God wants us to have, and our answer is, of course, in the Word of God. But when you play the victim, you become hopeless. You make excuses in your life. But when we take accountability in our life, we have hope. And the accountability is understanding what we have in Christ, and what we have here is very temporal, but what we have in Christ is eternal. So I tell you this, when trouble comes, what is the answer then? Well, Paul wants us to stand. We're going to look at that in Ephesians 6. And he wants us to withstand. And withstanding what he calls the wiles of the devil. The tricks. Wiles are simply tricks that Satan's going to use with us. And what is the one trick that I think he's going to use with believers? Is, are we really secure in Christ? Are we complete in Christ? Can we lose anything? But saying, well, maybe that's not true. Maybe we can lose our salvation, because that's what religion talks. That's what's meant, that you can lose it. If you do this, 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 or don't do this and this, then you may lose it. And then there's a church out there, another Bobbin, they have a place they call purgatory. So, well, you might not be good enough to get to heaven, but you're not enough bad enough to go to hell. You're going to have to suffer. And I heard a priest one time, they said, well, how long do you have to suffer? He said, could be 100 or 200 years. I thought, wow, that's a lot of suffering for whatever I've done. But we know Christ has suffered for us. So the answer simply is going to think, here's my answer. Are we going to focus on our troubles or our problems? Or are we going to focus on who we are in Christ? And I believe that's the answer to all of our problems. And there are three reasons why we have troubles. The first thing is because we're a part of fallen creation. And because of that, we're going to suffer. And trouble comes randomly. The same curse doesn't fall on all of us. Some could be physical problems. Some could be emotional, mental, financial. It comes at random, and we know that in our life. The second thing that why we suffer and why we have trouble is because the things we bring on ourselves. Remember, it says God is not mocked. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap to the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap to the Spirit. So it's the things we may do in life. If somebody wonders why they have had a heart attack and they lived on junk food for 20 years, okay, all of a sudden the doctor says, oh, your arteries are closed. I said, well, why me? Why'd that happen to me? My neighbor doesn't have it. And the neighbor went, I heard a man say once, and they asked him the question why he lived. I think he had lived to be 100 years old. Now, this would not be an answer, but he said, hey, I smoked all my life. I drink whiskey most of my life. Hasn't affected me. Well, he was lucky, but in most cases, it's going to affect you. If you smoke, there's consequences to actions. So the second thing is we bring on our own trouble. So the first thing is we're part of fallen creation. Second thing is we bring our own problem. But then Paul says something, all that that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. So when you look at it, I look at that's the three things that we should remember all the time. We are part, our trouble comes because we're part of fallen creation. Second thing, we bring upon our own problems by our actions. And the third thing is all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So in light of that, when trouble comes, what's the answer? Paul wants us to stand, and he wants us to withstand. So go to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And if you want to know about the church that Paul founded, we're not going to go there today, but you can write this down or look it up yourself. All you have to do is go to Acts 17. And in Acts 17, you'll find out what happened with the church of Thessalonica. So you can read that and the problems that happened there. And it's interesting that that's the church where it was stated, these are the ones that have turned the world upside down. That's what the Thessalonians said. And they said, they are now come to us. And of course, the Jews were very envious. And they brought trouble to Paul to the point that Paul and them had to leave that city of Thessalonica. So that is the place where they said, think of that. These are the people that turned the world upside down with this message. And now they're come to us, the Jews said. And they weren't going to have it. They were going to have to leave. So let's look at this verse. In verse 12, Paul says that we should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And now here's the answer. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, here's the answer, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So what is the word of God? It's to work in us and then outwardly be able to use it in our daily life. So the word of God is to work in us so that then that we can walk worthy of what we are in Christ, and we can only do it with what we are in Christ and understanding the word of God. And it does work effectually. And then we know what we have to do with the word of God. Paul says it rightly divided to understand the two programs, what God is doing in the earth, which is not today, and what he's doing in the heavens, which is to you and I. But notice if you go to verse 18, and here's why I said about the Thessalonians, that they said, these are the people that turned the world upside down, and now they're come to us. What are we going to do with it? Well, let's look at verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But what happened? What did Paul say why he wasn't able to come to them? Satan hindered him. And the word Satan simply means adversary, opponent, enemy, you may say. And so in this light, and it's amazing, the word Satan is used almost 50 times in the Word of God. Paul uses it almost a dozen times. I think it's 11. I could be wrong on that, but it's close. Somebody can check me on that next week. But I think it's close to a dozen. I think it's 11. That he uses that word about, but Satan hindered us. And we're going to use Paul as our pattern later on when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. But in light of that, what we have to decide then is, how do we take God's word and be able to use it, especially when the trouble comes? Are we able to, what the world's going to say, a lot of people would say, look at that when something happens to them, saying, why is God testing me? Well, God's not testing us. But they will say that, well, you know, is he testing me in some way? No, he's not. It has nothing to do with that. God cannot, is not tempting any man. So in light of that, when we look at the scripture, God truly gives us the answer. And I lost my train of thought here, so I'll go back. Forgive me. So the word, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget. The word of God living in you, working for you in every aspect of your life. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to say that again. The word of God living in you, working for you in every aspect of your life. So the truth of what we have to always come to is what I am in Christ and what I have in Christ, if I've been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, if I have an eternity with Christ, if I've been given the righteousness of God in Christ, in my standing, then what kind of trouble on this earth is going to be putting me in a situation where I can't handle it? And that's what it's all about. Can I handle whatever trouble is coming there because of what I am in Christ? And that's what the world doesn't understand. So therefore, in religion, it's going to be about, if trouble comes, well, we're going to get the prayer chain going. And God's going to take care of it in one way or another, okay, if we get enough people praying. Well, and if they do not use the word of God rightly divided, they're going to go to this, to the Gospels where they live, and say and use verses like, whenever two or three are gathered together, whatsoever you ask in my name, what? It'll be done. First of all, if you read, we're not going to go there, but if you read that passage, Paul is specifically talking to the 12. He's not even talking to all of Jews. He's talking to the 12. And that happened. It happened immediately at Pentecost. Peter didn't go alone when that lame man was standing there, and he said, silver and gold have none, but what I have together, rise up and walk. Who was with him? John. He was going to send them out in twos and threes. If you divide 12 by two or three, they always come out evenly. You can take somebody else. So he was talking about a specific thing, that whatever they were going to ask in God's name, it was going to happen. And you remember, everyone, it said, was healed. They, even at the shadow of Peter, it said they were healed. Not just a few, not just some, and not some, and so forth. So when we look at that scripture, we have to rightly divide it. Again, we're going to get confused, because if two or three are gathered together and it doesn't happen, what's going to be, what are you going to think? There's some kind of reason, right? God said, if two or three are gathered together, whatever you ask man to be done, if it doesn't happen, well, must be some reason. We don't have enough faith. Some people say there's some sin in your life, so therefore, if you don't get that out, God's not going to answer. But we know and realize it's talking about a situation when Christ on earth, when the 12 had this power to do that, and it happened at Pentecost, but that's not true today. So therefore, we have to use our sufferings and able to show the world a different way of handling it than how the world handles it. And it's all through the word of God. So Christ in you is what has transformed our life. And that's why, go to Galatians chapter 2, a verse we already know. And we can understand then the concept of who we are and how we are to live. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So we have died in Christ, but it says, but we also liveth. But how? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we always forget the next verse. And the next verse is a contrast between a religion and working on your, and what we're doing. He says, Therefore, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, that would be any works. then Christ is dead in vain. If there's anything you can do to save yourself, there's a church out there, and I belong to it. Someone will be declared a saint maybe 100 years after they lived, and they're going to look and say, well, they did this, 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 and this. There were certain miracles that had to be performed by them, and therefore now we're going to declare them a saint. Well, every church that Paul writes to, he calls everyone there a saint. And the saint is simply that you have been sanctified, set apart by God, given that righteous standing in God because of your faith in what Christ did for you at Calvary and nothing else. What a beautiful thing. All we have to do is trust in Christ's work, what he did at Calvary, his shed blood that took away our sin, his completed work, and we put our faith in that, and we are taken out of Adam, placed into Christ, have a righteous standing right now. That's what should affect our life every day when we make decisions. Am I going to let my flesh control me, or am I going to be able to control what I have and what I am in Christ? So in light of that, it's always going to be a battle between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. So think of that. It's always going to be a battle about between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And what does Paul say about that? Go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at all that Paul has to tell us in many different ways. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 17 through 21. 1 Corinthians 17 through 21. For Christ sent me not to baptize. He's talking about water, of course. We have the one baptism. That's the death baptism we have in Christ. But to preach the gospel, and here's the key, not with wisdom of words. So Paul has to be saying the wisdom of words there would be the wisdom of the world, and we'll see that in a minute. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this world? And here's the key. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them believe. It's not foolishness. He's talking about how the world looks at it. When he says the foolishness of preaching is what they believe in that. Oh, you're putting your faith in someone that might have not even existed. How do we know Christ existed? You just have it. There's nothing other than the Bible. They say there's no other historical record. But we do have the Word of God. So that's the key of always. The battle between, the decision is, do we look at the wisdom of the world or do we look at the wisdom of God? And that's, of course, in God's Word. So we have to rightly divide it. Now it comes to the circumstances of how we handle it. And we used this passage before. Go to Romans chapter 5. We're doing a little reviewing here. The last verse of chapter 4 tells us what Christ has done for us. And the last verse of chapter 4 of Romans says, who was delivered for our offenses and waged a grant for our justification. Therefore, so if you see that word, there's a conclusion. Whenever you see the word that or you see the word there, Paul's coming to a conclusion. Because of Christ being delivered for our offenses, taking care of all of the sin of the world, and then raised again for our justification. Justification is simply that you have a righteous standing in Christ, in God. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's all we have to do. Faith is simply believing. Believing is simply taking God at his word. We have peace with God. What a wonderful statement. We have peace, absolute, total peace with God for one reason, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have something Israel never had. Look at the next verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein, and what do we do with that? We stand. Paul's always using that with stand. Withstand, stand. Stand, stand, stand. We're going to look at that in Ephesians 6 in just a little bit. So he said, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice where he heads from here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I'm going to come back to the next verse, and I'm going to stop there. So if tribulation worketh patience in us, because of using our mind, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Paul says. And we know what it did for him and why he, as God, lowered his seven steps to come down to die for us that I used the first time we started this lesson. But then the next, so what is patience going to do? Paul says patience is going to bring us experience. So if we have tribulation, and then we're to be use that as patience, but then experiences. So what would be the experiences from those tribulations? Think of that. Well, the experiences, when I look at it, is going to be, do we have knowledge and skill that we can use when that trouble happens? So if tribulations come here, it allows us to be patient, but the patience allows us experiences. So the experiences, to me, has to be the skills that you and I need to handle those tribulations. And Paul needed that, but he says, therefore, I'm going to glory in my tribulation. But the experiences, the knowledge and the skills that you and I have from the Word of God to be able to handle that. It took me a long time to see that. I always wondered. I would look and say, well, tribulation was the patience, and then I would just read it, and experiences. But it has to be the knowledge and the wisdom, the skills that you and I are going to have then, that we can take the Word of God, because God wants us to grow spiritually. He doesn't want, what was the problem with the Corinthians? What does he say was their problem? They were carnal, and they were babes in Christ. So if you're a babe in Christ, you're not growing, are you? You're staying as a child, and that's why they had all that problems. And it's amazing, these people that love all the gifts that they still we have. Corinthians had every one of those gifts. Some had the gift of healing, some had the gift of, they had all these gifts. It didn't seem to work, did it? Because they were babes in Christ, they were carnal, they were not growing spiritually. God wants us not to be a babe. He doesn't want us, and we know from Ephesians 4, he doesn't want us to be tossed to and fro with any wind of doctrine. And that would mean if you can just think, well, I can take anything in the Word of God and use it. Some people say, well, I'm just going to pray about it, and I'm just going to open up the Bible and point to a verse, and God's going to answer my problem. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? We have to understand that God. So when we think of that again, so the skills necessary to handle our problems is understanding the Word of God, understanding what we have in Christ. But then what's the next thing? Therefore, we have hope. But he doesn't leave us there. He explains to us what that hope is. And hope maketh us not ashamed. Why? Why will it make us not ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. In Ephesians 4, we have God the Father in us. We know from Colossians, Christ is in us. And here there are many verses, it says the Holy Spirit. So we have the Godhead in us. I can't see that. You can't see that. We have to be in. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit actually residing in us. That's the new man. That's the temple of God that we are. And so Paul makes that very, why should hope not make us ashamed? Here's the answer. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So therefore, he's going to go on to, when we're without strength, Christ died for us. When we're a sinner, when we're an enemy, we're reconciled to God through the death of the Son. It's all about Christ. We get back to that first statement I made. It's never about us. It's never about you. It's always about Christ. And if we can get that in our life, it will hopefully transform us and change us in that light. So in light of that, we have to look at then Paul. So Paul has to be our pattern, and he says he's our pattern, to understand how Paul at first thought about his problems and then how he had a change of mind. And if we can get that point, we can understand that. So go to 2 Corinthians, and notice how Paul had the same problem you and I have. So remember that. Paul said that he had a problem in his flesh. I do what I don't want to do, and what I don't want to do, I do. So in 2 Corinthians, did I say first or second? 2 Corinthians, oh, I didn't make a mistake then, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, we're looking at a time when Paul's going to say that the problem was that the messenger of Satan buffeted him. So that's the key. He said the message of Satan buffeted him. But let's see. So Paul had this trouble. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh is. I think Dave and I talked to someone, but it could be one thing or another. I don't know if the Word of God really gives us the answer. Maybe it does, if somebody can help me with that. Some used to say it was his eyesight because he could see. It could be a lot of things. But the only thing that matters is it was a messenger of Satan. So let's how he thought about it the first time. And this is how the world thinks about it. And this is how we have thought about it in the past. And maybe we still do sometime. Because when trouble hits us, we say, boy, you know, it might be a good thing if we were back in that time where Christ was healing. You know, because I really need that right now. Okay? I don't think I'm good. So let's see how Paul handled it first. Look at verse 8. So now the trouble hits Paul, and he does what all the world does, all religion does, and what we probably did in our life. For this thing, the thing what? The messenger of Satan that buffeted him in verse 7. I sought the Lord twice. What did he want? What was the result? That at what? He wanted to leave, and that's what we want. When trouble hits us in some way, physically we say, I don't want it, Lord. Take it away. And Paul, that's why Paul's our pattern. But Paul's our pattern not just in what he thought about it the first time. How is he going to change his mind? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. With the mind we serve the law of God in Romans 7. With the flesh we can do nothing more than serve the law of sin. So that's the key. So that was the first thought. But notice Christ's answer in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's change was to understand that it wasn't about taking it away. He had to change his focus. And if you change your focus, it'll change your thought mind, and it'll change then how you're thinking about everything, and it'll give us a more positive attitude rather than a negative attitude that Paul had at first. Because we can understand, if Paul's on pattern, that he was exactly in the position and suffered probably more than any of us who ever suffer, if we know from the past in Corinthians, because he talks about it before, what had happened to him. All the things that befallen him, you know, naked, without food, without drink, the Jewish brethren trying to come and kill him everywhere he went. He was in prison many times. He says, I'm an ambassador in bonds. That means when he writes that passage in Galatians, he's in prison, in bonds, and not the type of prison we have now that they probably have internet and all this thing. He's in a dungeon probably with nothing. Because remember one thing, he asked Timothy if he would bring him a coat, a cloak to wear because he was so cold. And he could just have something to cover him. So in light of that, so now notice how he changes. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest on me. Understanding who we are in Christ. It's not about us. It's always about Christ. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Our strength is what we have in Christ. Our weakness is what we have in the flesh. And that weakness is going to come out. And there's going to be times, and that's why, how can we help each other then? So Paul also gives us the answer of how can we can handle that and help others. So go to 1 Corinthians. And I do apologize. 2 Corinthians. There had to be always 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then you forget which is which. So if we have this tribulations, if we have this test, this trying that we have, because of sin, it's not just about us. It's then, he says, for Christ's sake, I'm going to be able to handle and do it. And the key is, can we help others? And Paul answers that in verses 3 and 4. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 1. Thank you. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations. So that's the key. But why? What is the result cause for you and I as believers? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God doesn't want to just use it so it helps us. He wants to be able to use it as a believer that we can help other believers. And saying, okay, I understand. I've gone through this trouble. I've gone through that trouble. Here's the answer I've been able to get from the Word of God. So we can comfort others by us growing spiritually to the point that they can see in our lives a difference in the way we handle our troubles than the way the world handles their troubles. So I love that statement there. Who comfort us, God comforts us in all our tribulations. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, how does Satan work then? Well, all we have to go is go to Ephesians chapter 6. I always think I'll get through the lesson. I know I never do. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 6. And this is why I put up there. Paul wants us to stand and withstand. And this answer is very clear in Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going to start in verse 10. So Paul has a conclusion to this letter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, here's the key, and in the power of his might, not ours. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and remember this next part, but against principalities and against powers. I want you to think of those two things. We battle against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he says, you're going to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, and we know that's the word of God, to be able to stand against. That's the only way we can stand against the tricks, and that's all wiles means. Satan is going to use tricks with us. And the one thing I said he's going to use is, are we really complete in Christ? I think that's the first thing. Are we really complete in Christ? Are we perfect in Christ? Do we have a righteous standing and can never lose what we have in Christ? So in light of that, that's why he says to stand. Therefore, look at verse 12. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. So remember, he wants us to stand and withstand. To withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, faith is believing. So the shield is the faith we have in the Word of God. When I look at it, the shield of faith is the faith we have in the Word of God. That's our faith. That's where it comes from. So taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if it's a helmet and it's a sword, it's a defensive weapon and it's an offensive weapon. A helmet is a defensive weapon against injury. A sword is your offensive weapon. So the Word of God is a defense and an offensive weapon for you and I. So we're to stand and to withstand. And the only way you can withstand what Satan is trying to do to us is understanding the Word of God. And Satan works real quickly. We're going to look at David. And David is a good example of how Satan, it can help us a little bit, even though God's not dealing with us the way he did. Go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, and verse 1. And this will help us a little bit in the idea that Satan did something to David that was going to cause a tremendous problem in Israel. Because David did something that he wasn't supposed to do. Before we read it, does anybody know what David did here? He was never supposed to count, was he? He was never supposed to count how many men there were, how many people there were in Israel, because God wanted them to rely on him. David wasn't supposed to rely on his army. And later on, he says there's 1,000 of Israelis, and that's just the northern tribes. That's 1 million people. And he said, we have 100,000 men who can fight. And in Judah, there's 470,000 men can fight. So, whoa, that's a pretty good army, 570,000 men. He was never supposed to do that. But notice verse 1 of chapter 21. Who did it to him? And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David, who's the king, to number Israel. He was never to do that. And because of that consequence, God says, I love this. I don't know. God says, I'm going to give you three choices. Okay? Do you want 3 years of famine? Wow, I don't think I want that. David said, do you want 3 months when your enemies are going to come in and destroy you? I don't think I want that. And the third choice, 3 days of pestilence upon Israel. I think that's a pretty good choice. 3 years of, but it didn't work out that way, did it? Because in that 3 days of pestilence, 70,000 men were killed. 70,000 Israelis were killed in that 3 days of that pestilence. But the key I wanted to take you to is that it said Satan was the one who stood up against it and provoked David to number Israel. So Satan works the minute he's an adversary, an opponent, and an enemy. So if we look at that in there, even with David's life, Satan works many different ways. Now, he doesn't work that way with you and I, but he works in different ways. And the way I summed it up that I believe as I close this message, he wants us to lose what we have in Christ. So if we can remember that, oh, it's never about us. It's never about our problems. It's never about our trouble. It's what we are in Christ. And we continue to focus on that. We'll be able to stand and withstand the wiles of the devil. We can focus then on not our problem, but we can focus on who we are in Christ. And in my life, I've seen we've all had problems and sufferings. And sometimes I said we bring upon ourselves. Sometimes it's because of where it's just the curse. Other times it's because those that live a godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Three things of why we have suffering. How we handle it, though, is let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let the power of God and what he's done for us in the Word of God be able to use us and affect us. Father, we're just thankful for this Word of God. Paul gives us the answer. He had the revelation from Christ. I did not receive it from man, wasn't taught it from man, but by direct revelation of Christ. The revelation of the grace of God that we have today. And it's all about God's grace. It's all about Christ's completed work. So if there's anyone out there that might listen to this message, you can have eternal life and a righteous standing in God this moment by just putting your faith, trusting in Christ as your Savior and putting your faith simply in the completed work of Christ of Calvary, His blood that took care of all of your sins. And by putting that faith in, you have a righteous standing in the God that cannot be taken away. We just thank you and praise you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.